not accept philosophy. You know, Usuli scholars don't have any problem with philosophy. Some of them accept and some may. You know, because in Akhbari, they, as my brother mentioned, they believe that the only source of religion is riwayat.
Yes.
Not ijtihad and not philosophy. You know, in ijtihad, you refer to Quran, to hadith, and your aql.
Yes.
And in philosophy, usually, mostly, you refer to the to aql. Of yes. course, we have the school of Hikmat Muta'aliyah.
Yes.
Which is the combination of Quran, Rivayat, and aql. The, mainly, the problem is about Akhbari school of thought. You know, the problem is that in Akhbari school of thought, they usually they oppose the usage of ration and aql.
Yes.
And this is the first problem. The first problem is that our religion doesn't oppose the aql. If aql was useless, so why did God create that?
Yes.
And why are we ordered to use that a lot, even in Quran? We have a lot of order about tadabbur. Tadabbur means to use your aql. This is the first problem. If you want to close the door, the gates of aql and ration, this is not what our religion asks us. The second problem is that even about akhbar, means riwayat and hadith, usually they don't care about the source of riwayat. You know, akhbari scholars used to accept everything which was called riwayah.
That's right.
And they were not careful about the source of riwayah. You know, I want to quote a sentence from Ayatollah Ma'rifat, which is one of the most important scholars in Quran and Hadith. He said in the book Siyanat al-Quran min al-Tahrif, he said that the problem that Akhbari scholars made for Islam is not smaller than the problem that Khawarij made for Islam. You know why? Because if when you don't care about the source of riwayah and you gather everything called riwayah, so here in the combined riwayahs that you gather, there may have been a lot of problem. You know, which jali riwayat, fake riwayat, which mainly was forged in order to destroy Islam.
Yes. And they gather the true face of Ahl al-Bayt sometimes.
But some scholars like Sayyid Abdullah Shubat, they try to clarify that this is not correct school of thought, to gather riwayat without caring about this source. You know, when we say usuli, usuli doesn't mean that they do not accept riwayat. Our mujtahids nowadays, they use riwayat.
That's right.
But how to use? We have three sciences, Rijal, Diraya, and Fiqh al-Hadith.
Yes.
After these filters, you can use Riwayah.
Yes, that's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. Because as we said, Sayyid Abdullah Shobar was a prolific writer. His books reached also the world of our Sunni scholar. That's why so many of the Sunni scholars and ulama admired his works, including, for example, Muhammad Hussein al-Zahabi and also Hamad al-Hanafi from the University of Al-Azhar in Egypt, you know, that they talked in admiration of the multitude of the actions and the works and the, it's better to say, writings and compilations of Sayyid Abdullah al-Shubbar. The year 1242, according to the Hijri calendar, is the year in which Sayyid Abdullah al-Shubbar passed away. His body was taken into the city of Al-Kazamiyya and he was buried in the holy courtyard of Al-Kazamiyya. May Allah bless the soul of this prolific writer, Sayyid Abdullah Shobba. Thank you, Mashaykh Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani.
You're welcome.
For your nice elaboration regarding his life. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the first day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. Stay with us for a special series on this occasion. We are going to introduce some of the customs and traditions of Iranians in various regions of the country on the period of Nowruz. Today we will speak about the traditions that are common almost everywhere in Iran. Hope you'll enjoy it. Many customs and traditions of world people have their roots in the past, and some of them have grown alongside man and his thoughts. An ancient tradition in Iran, with a past record of over 2,500 years, is the National Nowruz Feast. This feast enters Iranian houses with happiness every year with the arrival of spring. Nowruz has remained the ups and downs of history and lives with Iranians from any ethnicity and language. Whatever the history of Nowruz is, today it is an important nationwide feast, which is celebrated not only in Iran, but also in several countries which used to be part of ancient Iran. Nowruz is accompanied with many customs, as one of which is haftsin. Haftsin is the tablecloth which is spread in every Iranian house, and seven items are put on it, beginning with letter sin, S, in Farsi. It is a beautiful tablecloth which includes various things, each of which is said to symbolize a specific concept. These items include sib, apple, symbolizing paradise, sir, garlic, symbolizing health, samanu, pudding made with fresh wheat sprouts, symbolizing fertility and power, senjed, oil tree fruit, symbolizing wisdom and calculated action, serke, vinegar, symbolizing satisfaction, somak, sumac, symbolizing patience, rebirth, and sunset, and sabze, fresh sprouts of wheat or other green sprouts, symbolizing life and hope. Some believe that the seventh S is seke, coin, symbolizing wealth. There are usually other items in haftsin tablecloth, which include a fish bowl with fish inside, a copy of the Noble Quran, and a few colorful eggs. Many Iranians usually start the year with recitation of the Noble Quran, believing that it will bless their life for the coming year. But non-Muslims put their holy book in the tablecloth as a symbol of blessing. Another custom among Iranians before the arrival of Nowruz is khune tekuni, which means house cleaning. A few weeks before Nowruz, Iranians start cleaning their houses. They have carpets and curtains washed, and walls, windows, and furniture cleaned. Moreover, several weeks before the New Year, municipalities in every city and town clean streets and adorn them with beautiful items. Interestingly, there is a unit in Iran's cities called Beautification Organization. This organization is in charge of decoration of streets and public furniture in every city and the peak of its activities before Nowruz. Nowruz shopping is another custom among Iranians. Iranians, based on their financial ability, buy new clothes and replace their old clothes with new ones before Nowruz. It should be reminded that while cleaning their houses, some people replace their furniture and tapestries with new ones according to their budget. AD is another beautiful custom which makes family members, especially children, happy. AD is the money given by elders to youngers upon visiting them. It is also customary to give a gift to wives by husbands. Among some ethnicities, brothers also buy gifts for sisters. AD is so significant for young children that once they do not receive it, they would think that their parents or grandparents have forgotten them. Furthermore, some friends exchange presents as a sign of affection and remembrance. Some people also give money to those who render a service, like trash collectors, janitors, mailmen, and various servicemen. Nowruz holidays end on the 13th of Farvardin month, called Sizde Bedar, or the Day of Nature. On this day, Iranians leave homes for parks, gardens, plains, and mountains to spend their time in nature. The food on this day is usually prepared in two ways. People either prepare it before going outdoors or take every item needed for the food and make it in nature. Ashreshte, a special kind of broth, is a very popular food on Sizde Bedar. Ashreshte is made with vegetables and legumes. Iranians also add whey and fried mint and onion to the food when serving it. Other kinds of ash are also made in Iran, which may contain meat, barley, and other items. Lettuce and vinegar mixed with honey or sugar are also eaten on Sizde Bedar. Dear listeners, as of the next episode, we will introduce Nowruz customs among different ethnicities in Iran.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulema's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hojjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
Thank you.
رسول خدا فرمود لا یقعد علیها الا الصائمون.
The Holy Prophet of Islam stated, no one can taste the sweetness of the banquet of Ramadan except those who fast during this month. This is the banquet that no one has ever tasted, experienced, or witnessed. The holy month of Ramadan is like a party whose host is Allah and we are the guests. Also, this banquet is filled with many spiritual foods and drinks which are prepared by Allah Himself. The holy month of Ramadan is like a big banquet, and we must try our best to benefit the most from it. If we do not find a chance to consume from this banquet, or we lose the chances, we are in fact depriving ourselves from many blessings of Allah. Ramadan is like a big circle that includes many bounties and blessings. It is our shortcoming if we cannot enjoy the spiritual food and blessings of this month. In better words, the holy month of Ramadan is like a big party that different people are invited to. The more they enjoy this party, the more they will be prosperous during this month. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Leaders meeting with chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts of the Leadership on Thursday, 7th of March. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. On Thursday, 7th of March, members of the 5th Assembly of Experts had their last official gathering in a meeting with the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The leader started off by recommending to all prayers and supplication in the remaining days of the month of Sha'ban. He said, "The month of Sha'ban is for purifying and enlightening our hearts by seeking God's forgiveness through supplications and prayer. It is the month for preparing ourselves for the abundant and infinite blessings of the holy month of Ramadan. What a person prays for during this month is special. O God, grant me complete detachment from my worldly desires so I can come towards you. O God, give me a heart that longs to be close to you and a tongue that speaks the truth to you. These requests are filled with light, grace, and spirituality. We must say, O God, if you have not forgiven us yet in this month of Sha'ban, a portion of which has passed, then forgive us in the remaining days of this month. May the Almighty help us make good use of the few days that are left of this month and bestow His grace upon us all." Turning to the well-attended and enthusiastic nationwide rallies and marches on 11th of February and parliamentary and assembly of expert elections on 1st of March, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "February and March of this year revealed signs of Islamic democracy more than in other years. From the 10 days of dawn celebrations to parliamentary and assembly of experts elections in March, all of these are signs and characteristics relating to Islamic democracy and the Islamic Republic." Referring to the birth of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the leader said, "The birth of the Islamic Republic had a global impact. It was an earthquake, a global event, that created two opposing fronts in the world. One front was comprised of democracies dependent on the ideology of liberal democracy, and another front, a republic originating from religion and Islam, and related to religion and Islam. These two fronts were brought into existence with the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they did not exist prior to the emergence of the Islamic Republic. Naturally, it brought complications for both sides. The incompatibility between these two fronts was natural, and it was evident from day one." Commenting further, the leader said, "It should not be imagined that this incompatibility is solely because of religion, where one side adheres to religion and the other side is indifferent about it. It isn't just that. It may appear to be so, but in fact the divisions and incompatibility are far more fundamental and run much deeper. The problem was that this faction of mainstream Western democracy felt that this new model that had emerged was in conflict with its major interests and perhaps ultimately opposed its existence. They sensed this very much. This sentiment was created in general in the opposite side from the outset of the Islamic Republic of Iran's establishment, and it intensified and grew as time passed. This opposition and serious conflict is due to the fact that at the core of the system of liberal democracy and the governments that were created based on that rationale and principle, there is an inherent arrogance, aggression, and transgression. Arrogance here has the same meaning that we use in the Islamic Revolution. That is, it encompasses oppression, aggression, and the violation of other nations' rights. This is in the nature of Western liberal democracy. The leader added, these governments saw that their wealth, their power and absolute domination depended on attacking and invading weaker nations. This is evidenced by the fact that at the height of the faction's popular slogans, that is the slogans of democracy, freedom and human rights, that peaked in the 19th century, parallel to these slogans, the largest colonization movement of that faction also took place in the same period of time. Further remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said, the peak of colonization of Asian, African and Latin American countries was during the 19th century, and it continued into the early 20th century. In other words, these two events took place simultaneously. Those slogans becoming common in the 19th century and the arrogant movement towards colonialism, which was accompanied by oppression and a disregard for other nations' rights, took place at the same time. Naturally, when there is no spirituality, a background of oppression and injustice takes root. When a group feels strong and is able to exploit and plunder a country, like India for example, which was wealthy, had industries and was considered advanced at the time, and by using force and pressure can seize control and use that country's wealth and resources to increase its own wealth, power and capabilities, why would it not do so? When there is no spirituality, what is there to prevent it from doing so? It can, so it does, and it did. Colonialism took over in important regions of Asia, including in East Asia, India and surrounding countries. It also took place in Africa and in Latin America. The most important issue of the opposing front, which was created based on a religious democracy, is to confront oppression, arrogance and transgression. That is, the foundation of a government which is formed based on religion and Islam is neither harming others nor suffering harm. Its primary objective is to fight and confront oppression. As the Holy Quran says, those who have faith fight in the way of Allah. This is why naturally this confrontation and mutual hostility came about automatically. This is a reality that came about. Warmongering and endless bloodshed in the pursuit of power are some of the characteristics of the Western liberal democracy, which is formed in the name of this so-called democracy, but is far from spirituality and religion. Many of these tragic events took place in Europe itself. However, they are always united when they're facing non-Europeans. But when they become free from doing that, they're at odds with each other as well. As a matter of fact, the problems and what happened in Europe in the 19th century, the wars, the massacres and the aggression, prove my earlier point. In further comments, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, we're not opposed to other governments and other countries. As a rule, rather, we are opposed to oppression, exploitation, arrogance and aggression. We are opposed to the events that you see unfolding today in the Gaza Strip. A nation, the owners of the land, are subjected to such severe oppression in their own land. Their women, their children, their families, their homes and their infrastructure and all of their belongings are destroyed with absolute brutality and heartlessness, while some countries simply stand by and watch. Not only do they not oppose or prevent these actions by the aggressor, they even offer to help the aggressor. The United States, Britain and some European countries have helped the aggressor. This is what we are saying. We're opposed to this. The things that set the Islamic Republic in opposition to the opposing front are these concepts. In further remarks, the leader said, "The second conclusion that may be drawn is that we need to continually raise the battle flag against the arrogant powers. We need to ensure that the battle flag against the arrogant powers remains in the hands of the Islamic Republic of Iran at all times. We must take the lead and be in the forefront of raising this flag more prominently each day." Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The third and final conclusion that I would like to make is that we must clarify this truth to our younger generation. Our younger generation, our young people, and the future generations need to know what the vision of the Islamic Republic is and why it opposes certain things. Fortunately, of course, in the 4.5 decades that have passed since the formation of the Islamic Republic of Iran, we have been successful both regionally and globally in conveying this message to the outside world, conveying the message of the Islamic Revolution to the wider world." Turning to the Assembly of Experts, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The Assembly of Experts are responsible for the most important tasks, which are selecting the leader and overseeing the maintenance of the leader's qualifications. This is perhaps the most important task in the management of Iranian society today. The Assembly of Experts must ensure that the fixed principles of the Islamic Republic are upheld in their decisions and selections. They should take care that the fixed principles of the Islamic Republic are not neglected. This is very important. This means the leader must be selected while respecting and considering the fixed principles that are fundamental certainties in the Islamic Republic." Commenting on the parliamentary or majlis elections, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Each new parliament or majlis brings with it fresh hope and aspirations. With the formation of a new parliament, a new majlis, new hopes develop due to that majlis, and there are new opportunities as well. New representatives enter the parliament and they interact with more experienced members of the parliament. They can use the successful past experiences and implement new ideas, and this is a valuable asset. The formation of a new parliament, a new majlis, is a valuable asset that can be used for the country. This should be appreciated. Fresh blood enters the new majlis or parliament, and God willing, the nation will benefit as a whole." In concluding remarks, the leader wished success for all the new members of the Assembly of Experts, and he wished God's blessing upon all those present.
This is A to Z. A An Introduction into Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson, being excited about the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, dear friends, we are in the holy month of Ramadan. What a beautiful month to be witnessing in our lives, and what a great blessing from the Almighty Allah that we have been given the opportunity to be able to witness a holy month of Ramadan, this most holiest of months, in which, of course, we know that its days are the best of days, and its nights are the best of nights, its hours the best of hours. A month which is so holy that even our sleeping is considered to be the worship of the Almighty Allah. What a beautiful month indeed. And so one of the things, though, that we have a tendency to, you know, not really feel is to feel happy and excited about the holy month of Ramadan. Now, for those of us who are older, you know, and we have witnessed a few holy months of Ramadan already, you know, we don't have that excitement that perhaps we used to have. Or perhaps, you know, God forbid, we never had an excitement towards the holy month of Ramadan. Now, the holy month of Ramadan and this fasting and this feast of Allah, this is something which, you know, on a yearly basis, it teaches us to connect back with our Islamic lifestyle. So throughout the year, for example, you know, we kind of stray away from that pure and blessed and that epitome of an Islamic lifestyle that we are trying to achieve. You know, we kind of stray from that peak that we are trying to reach. And so the holy month of Ramadan helps us to come back and connect with that beautiful Islamic lifestyle that we are trying to achieve. And perhaps this is, you know, one of the things that we don't understand and we don't realize and we don't comprehend. And because we don't comprehend it, then we aren't happy about the holy month of Ramadan.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about being happy and being excited about the holy month of Ramadan. You know, so we had said in the previous segment that sometimes people that are a little bit older and they have witnessed a few holy months of Ramadan, they don't have that same excitement or that same, I guess, you know, happiness and cheerfulness about the holy month of Ramadan. And we said how there's, unfortunately, some of us out there, you know, who have never felt any excitement for the holy month of Ramadan, whether we've seen many or a few. Now, something for parents out there, this is applicable. We need to try to find ways to make the holy month of Ramadan exciting for our children. So they should really be looking forward to the holy month of Ramadan, and they should, you know, really be excited about the holy month of Ramadan. And it's something that we'll talk about in another program, inshallah. So one of the reasons why we are not happy or not excited about the holy month of Ramadan, whether it is in the beginning, you know, or towards the middle, because sometimes in the beginning we're really excited and cheerful, but halfway through the holy month, we, you know, our energy level starts to go down and we're not happy about the holy month of Ramadan anymore, is because we don't understand the essence of the holy month of Ramadan. We don't understand what is going on in this holy month of Ramadan. We don't understand the true meaning of the holy month of Ramadan and all the different aspects of it that are to our benefit. And I mean, you're going to have to listen to some of our A to Z programs in order to realize the benefits of the holy month of Ramadan. But if we know the essence and we know what's going on and we understand the value and importance and the benefits of the holy month of Ramadan, then we're going to be extra excited and extra happy about this holy month. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parsetoday.ir/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. I feel so alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qari.
In the limelight.
Tel Aviv is coming up against myriad obstacles, from the loss of Western public opinion to the nervousness of its key backers. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Middle East Eye wrote, the Zionist regime's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's attempts to keep this war going for as long as possible are not being helped from within. Two senior members of the war cabinet have defied the Prime Minister's wishes publicly. The first act of public defiance came from War Minister Yoav Gallant, who announced that he would only agree to present a new military draft law if MK Benny Gantz National Unity Party agreed on how to regulate the exemption of yeshiva students from conscription. Gallant effectively gave Gantz a veto on the law, on which government funding to yeshivas whose students refuse to serve depends. Without such a law, Haredi parties would leave the coalition and collapse the Zionist government. The second act came from Gantz, who made unsanctioned visits to the US and Britain, in which Netanyahu ordered his embassies not to cooperate. But such is Netanyahu's political weakness that neither Gantz nor Gallant can be fired. A third blow to Netanyahu in as many weeks was the recent statement by Sephardi Chief Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef, who said that if the government were to enforce compulsory military service on the Haredim, they would leave Israel en masse. Yosef was denounced by a Jerusalem Post editorial that said his words were an insult to the troops risking their lives in Gaza. The Zionist regime's war leader has less and less authority within Israel to conduct war he wants. The balance of power between the child killer regime of Israel and the resistance group Hamas is also not as clear-cut as it might seem at first glance. Another sign of their confidence in their ability to shape the future of Palestine and its leadership is their list of prisoners who would be released in exchange for the remaining Israeli hostages. The latest list includes Marwan Barghouti, the Fatah leader sentenced to 5 commutative life sentences and 40 years in prison for his acts in the Second Intifada; Ahmad Sadat, Secretary General of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine; Abdullah Barghouti, the Hamas military leader, and Ibrahim Hamid, leader of the Second Intifada. If any of these men were released, the effect would be a strategic shake-up of the Palestinian leadership across all factions. For Palestinians, this would be a huge political renewal. It would also mean the definitive end of a Palestinian authority that collaborates with their occupation. For the Zionist regime, the release of these men would present a real chance to negotiate an end to the conflict. But only the likes of Ami Ayalon, the former head of Shin Bet, gets this point. Instead, the war cabinet's latest idea is to put another PA stooge, Majed Faraj, in charge of Gaza. Faraj's mission is doomed before it starts, and it would be wise to decline such a poisoned chalice. Netanyahu's weakness is having a profound effect on the Western political elites who supported and armed the Zionist regime. U.S. President Joe Biden's rift with Netanyahu is now open and in the public eye. The U.S. leader, who said so loudly that Israel had every right to defend itself 5 months ago, now says Israel cannot kill another 30,000 Palestinians in the name of self-defense. We don't believe Biden has had some dramatic change of heart or that the scales have fallen from his eyes. U.S. government officials are fully informed about what is happening on the ground in Gaza at every stage of his operation. They knew, for instance, that resistance groups were not diverting aid convoys or stealing food, and said so. If Biden is confronting the consequences of having given the Zionist regime the brightest of green lights to invade Gaza after the October 7th events, those consequences are primarily electoral. Biden's team has been shocked by the extent of uncommitted vote. Hundreds of thousands of voters across the U.S. voted for no candidate in the Democratic primaries on Super Tuesday, as the movement urging voters to vote uncommitted gathers pace in protest against Biden's handling of the war in Gaza. This could cost him in the general election in November. Biden's Ramadan greetings were especially warm this year, but Arab Americans don't want hugs. They want a change of policy, and Biden still only supports a temporary ceasefire, not a permanent one. He has not threatened to stop the supply of weapons to Israel. Nevertheless, there has been a deliberate shift in tone. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish official in the U.S., was full-throated in his support for the Zionist regime after the October 7th events. Recently, he warned the Zionist regime it cannot survive if it becomes a global pariah. Schumer accused Netanyahu of putting political survival above national interest and said he had been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for the Zionist regime worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah, he said. The loss of public opinion in the West, the continuing genocide case at the International Court of Justice, the erosion of Jewish consensus, and the nervousness of the Zionist regime's backers, all of these elements point to a strategic defeat for the child killer regime of Israel. Even if the war stops now, the price the Israeli regime has paid for the reoccupation of Gaza will be higher than it could have possibly calculated 5 months ago, but it has yet to realize this. It will.
iRabbi English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to iRabbi English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, iRabbi English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی است.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Nowruz is the day when Dajjal will be killed by Imam Mehdi. March 23rd, 2018. The day Dajjal is to be killed by Imam Mehdi alayhi salam in the final era of time, that day is Nowruz. Even according to some narrations, the day Adam alayhi salam descended on earth was on Nowruz. Nowruz means a new day in the history of mankind and a new state in the life of humankind. What matters is our intentions and actions during Nowruz. Nowruz has always meant a new day and a new state. With regards to nature, the first day of Aries, which is used to indicate the beginning of spring, is regarded as a new day. However, the new day is not restricted to renewal in nature. Some narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about Nowruz well imply that they, based on the tradition in Islam, which everywhere took the traditions, customs, and words and changed their contents, did the same with Nowruz. When the Imam alayhi salam was asked, "What is Nowruz?" he, according to some narrations, answered, "Do you know what Nowruz is?" He didn't say, "Do you know when Nowruz is?" He stated, "Do you know what Nowruz is?" Then, on the meaning of Nowruz, or what Nowruz is, there are different explanations among different narrations. For instance, the day Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, appointed Imam Ali alayhi salam to the post of Khilafat was on Nowruz. Or, in another occasion, the day Dajjal, Antichrist, is to be killed by Imam Mehdi alayhi salam in the final era of time, that day is Nowruz. Even according to some narrations, the day Adam alayhi salam descended on earth was on Nowruz.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today. And that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Nowruz means a new day in the history of mankind and a new state in the life of humankind. Apparently, the Imam alayhi salam does not want to say that the day these events occurred or will occur is, or will be, on the first day of Aries. This interpretation is highly unlikely to be intended by the Imam. Instead, these examples are used to clarify the true meaning of Nowruz. Nowruz is the day that you, by your actions or by the event that takes place, bring about renewal. The day of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, when the people of Iran created a great event, with the help of God, is a new day, Nowruz. The day the Imam of the Ummah, Imam Khomeini, assertively spoke against the world's arrogant and aggressive front, the US, That day was a new day and a new path, Nowruz. This was a new event that took place. We should create a new day out of Nowruz. Nowruz is a new day for nature. The human aspect of it relies on our efforts that we bring about as a new day.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavet, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
South Korea this week hosts the third U.S. initiative of the Summit for Democracy. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken suggested America could lead the world toward democratic ideals lacking elsewhere.
Vitalizing democracy will also require us to shape a technological future that's inclusive, that's rights-respecting, directed at driving progress in people's lives. As authoritarian and repressive regimes deploy technologies to undermine democracy and human rights, we need to ensure that technology sustains and supports democratic values and norms.
Corralled away from the venue, activists were joined by a South Korean lawmaker to question Washington's and Seoul's credibility, particularly in light of U.S. support of Israel's ongoing genocide of Palestinians in Gaza.
Since Yoon Suk-yeol came into power, our democracy index has fallen by 19 points, and we're turning into a very backward country in terms of democracy. The United States, the enabler of the massacre, Israel, the perpetrator of the massacre, and South Korea are causing the endless decline of democracy.
Activists say the U.S. and South Korea have the blood of tens of thousands of innocents on their hands. Through the provision of weapons to Israel and failure to pressure Tel Aviv to end its genocide.
It's not the time for the South Korean government or the U.S. government, who are complicit in Israel's genocide, to discuss democracy. Instead, the Korean government should urge the U.S. and Israel to immediately stop the genocide, lift the blockade of the Gaza Strip, and end Israel's colonial military occupation of Palestine.
While a rift has appeared in U.S. support of Israel, concern is mounting that the Israeli military will increase attacks on the already besieged Rafah, where Palestinians await humanitarian aid amid reports of starvation. Like here, around the world can be found supporters of a free Palestine protesting against Israel's genocide in Gaza week after week. And here at this summit titled Democracy for Future Generations, a glaring question clouds proceedings. What will happen to the next generation of Palestinians? Frank Smith, Seoul.